Thank you, Lord. How he loves us. Amen. It's hard to understand. It's hard to fathom. But he loves us. And he continues to love us. And I want to kind of take up here a little bit of, you know, the last few weeks we've been discussing and sharing about trees and planted, and he's planted us by the streams and by the rivers and by the channels, and he is saying that our leaves will not wither, or we will not wither, that we will be full of life. One of the areas there I liked in the beginning of some time back, now several weeks, but again, just bring it back up, is that in Psalms 92, that you've transplanted them into your heavenly courtyard where they are thriving before you, for in your presence they shall still overflow and be anointed. Even in their old age, they shall stay fresh, bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithfully. We shared a little bit of that. And then I talked about in Psalms 92 as well, and then 91, or Psalms 1, about the blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly, and goes on. But it says in verse 3 that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers or the channels of the water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall also not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Now I want you to hold on to that for this year of 2024. God has you planted. But there's a thing on our part that we've got to do. Do you believe that? He will take care of us. But there's things that we have got to do. And I discussed being rooted and what that all meant. But today I started looking this past week. And as God spoke about, you shall not wither, that tells me that, guess what? We can wither. God does not look for us to wither. He wants us to flourish. He said, and I can't remember the translation I was looking at. Remember I talked about how the trees, the palm trees, he compared us to the cedar. He's compared us to tall, height, big, girth, or whatever, these trees that we've been looked upon as what we share in God's Word that he sees us as. But also it talked about how, you know, we will be full of sap and things of that nature. Our sap will be flowing. Even in old age, we will flourish. I found that very encouraging. How about you? And so as I began to reread some of my past messages and just notes that I had, and I looked at that word wither, it made me think this past few days back that we've got to be cautious that we ourselves don't wither on the vine. Don't wither away. So what does this word mean in the Bible? As I looked up the word wither in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, withered is used in a couple of different places and a couple of different thoughts in the Scriptures. The one is talked about as wither also has a psychological or physiological meaning expressing both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And we know that and we speak, and you remember the man in Matthew of the withered hand, you know, came to the synagogue with the withered hand, and Jesus said, reach out your hand, healing on the Sabbath. So the hand was withered. We also find that we look at it in the areas of to fade away or to be dried up, used figuratively to express leanness of soul, spiritual impotence. We look at that, and where we kind of find that as far as an item being shriveled up, as far as figuratively, would be that in Psalms 102:4, where it says, my heart is smitten like grass and withereth. You know, so we find this word wither, withereth, and all these things. But as I began to think about this, I got concerned that we can wither. No matter what God's Word says that he will do for us, if we don't do some things on our end, you're going to wither. Your sap is going to dry up. You're going to be parched. You're not going to have a good year. You're not going to have a good life. And life is life, and life is hard, and life comes at all of us. But I think for us to go through this life and this time and where we're at, it really requires us to stay focused, connected, and feeding off of God and His Word, don't you think? Because we need something that gives us nourishment. We need something that gives us vitality. We need something that gives us the encouragement and vitality and the desire and the focus of what this life is to be and what it's about. God has a plan for you here today. God has something for you to fulfill. Do you believe that? We went through in December about destiny and God's destiny for all of us. We have a destiny and it's there for you to fulfill. God has done all He has going to do for you. You, we, me, us, whether it's individually or as a church corporately, we have got to pick up things and we've got to do our part. How nice it would be if we could just show up and it's all done. But it's not that easy. So looking back as far as to fade away or to be dried up, this figuratively looking at this, the definition in that Standard Bible Encyclopedia used figuratively to express leanness of soul, spiritual impotence, a low condition of spiritual life, a lack of moral nourishment. How do we know what's going on in this world is right or wrong if we don't understand what God calls what's right and wrong? Because we can fall into so many things that the world says is right, and guess what? It's wrong in the eyes of God. Good will be called bad, and bad will be called good. We've got to be on our game. We've got to be on our toes with what the world is wanting to shove in on all of us to make us just kind of be fat, dumb, and happy in where we're at in life. God has, again, a plan and a purpose and a destiny for us. And we need to stay attached to Him to fulfill these things. You're not going to do it on your own, are you? Remember a few weeks back I talked about you can't be alone. You can't get away from the body of Christ. You've got to stay connected to some body of believers, because if you're out there on your own, we talked about that when I shared one of the messages about how lions, and we shared a couple weeks back in Peter, 2 Peter I think it was, in regards to he moves around and looks for who he can devour, who he may devour, and things like that. And I had a little footnote there that I read about how lions look for the weak. They look for the stragglers. They look for those that are sick, that can't keep up with the main herd. Because why would a lion want to fight the strong, the powerful, and that of the herd when they can just gobble up somebody or some animal or one of their herd members that's weak and straggling? When they're out there by themselves, it's less energy for the lions as their pack to go and get around it. They know what they're doing. A pack of dogs is the same way. Watch some of the stories and National Geographic things as far as how packs of dogs and wolves, how they look and how they're smart on hunting. The devil is smart in the respects of he knows what he's looking for. He's looking for the weak, the stragglers, the loners. Now, he's not looking for those in the world. They're already stragglers, loners. You see, the devil wants to destroy the church, the heart of God. That Jesus died for the church. The devil is nothing more than just wanting to splinter and dissect the church body. Then he knows he's gained and he's won. But we've got to stand strong and say, devil, you're not going to win. We're going to be strong. We're going to stay together. We're going to be a corporate body of believers. We're going to pray for one another, care, encourage one another, lift each other up. I need to be lifted up. Amen. How about you? I love it when I hear somebody say, Pastor, I've been praying for you. When you hear somebody say, hey, John, I've been praying for you. What does that do to you? Thank you. I need it. We all need someone to help us. Now, we know God is there and He's helping us all, but He puts wonderful, loving people around us, the church body, the nucleus, and the things of His kingdom to come together to encourage and to support But we all have to do our part. And if we don't do all of these things, I'm afraid you are, I will, we even as a church body will wither away and be of nothing. Oh, we'll still be here. But have you ever seen a tree or something that's withered? A flower that's withered? Doesn't look very appetizing, or eye-appealing, I should say. We got to have a tenacity like weeds. I mean, I've seen weeds break through this asphalt during the spring and summer out here. I don't understand it. They don't even see dirt. They don't even see light. They don't get rain. They don't get anything. And lo and behold, you go back out here sometimes and where there's even the blacktop that's some thickness to it, and eventually a weed appears. And I look at that out there and I go, how in the world? But it finds its way up through because it's got tenacity. It's got a desire to look for the sun. It's going to break through. We, as a child of God, we've got to have, not that we're weeds, we're much better than that, we're flowers, but we've got to flourish and grow, and we've got to become what God wants us to be. But we have got to have a tenacity as much as like that weed has that says, I'm going to break through that blacktop. Or I'm going to break through that concrete, or whatever the case might be. We have got to be strong and on fire for the things of God. And it's not to be on fire for this church. Don't be on fire for Harvester's Church. Be on fire for the Word of God. Be on fire to serve God. And it's lovely that you're here as a group to do that at Harvester's Church. But it's not the church building. It's not coming this way. But it's you. Individually. Corporately we come together. So now look at this. Where it says that spiritual impotence. The Webster would say this. So as we look at this figuratively to express the leanness of soul. It means this. Lack of power. Lack of strength. Lack of vigor. You're weak. As we look at being dried up and fading away. We look at individuals, and any one of us can be powerful and strong in the mightiness of God. But let a few things happen, and we wither, and all begin. We look at these things, and we go, my goodness, my spiritual power, my spiritual strength, the Holy Spirit in me, what's happened? I no longer have power, strength, I no longer have vigor, I am weak. Now what about this, a low condition of spiritual life? A lack of moral nourishment. Webster says, principles of the right and the wrong in behavior. Conforming to a standard of right behavior, or you conform to a standard of wrong behavior. We don't stay strong with the things of God. We wither and we begin to pick up the world's ways. Amen? We don't want to pick up the world's ways, but how come it's so easy to pick up the world's ways, huh? Why? Why does it take so long to get hooked up to God and to keep getting stronger with God, but just take a fourth of that time or a third of that time and go to the other side of the world, and before you know it, you're back in the world faster than you are into the things of God. The world has a very strong pull. It's a very strong magnet that pulls us into its moral depravity very easily, or we get to that point of where we begin to say, this is happening all over, I guess this is what it'll be, and it'll be this way until Jesus comes back. Well, you've just had a defeated attitude, I think. Because God has us here to be a powerful force to reckon with, not us individually, but for Him to work through, for us to be His children here upon this earth, to bring glory, to bring light, to bring a difference into a darkened place. And even though the world says that good is bad and bad is good, I'm going to say no, good is good and bad is bad. Don't get them mixed up. Pretty soon the world does that and we find people individually, we find organizational of churches and things of groups of denominations beginning to believe that and they're withering away on the vine. Now we've had, we know about the vine and the dresser. We had a wonderful study on that many years back on a Sunday school about the vine dresser. That Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, we gain, and He said He will come through and He will prune. And He will even prune some good branches, only to make you stronger. You believe that? But I know for sure He will prune the dead branch. That He will prune the branch that's withering. because it starts taking no longer nutrients from the source of the branch or the stem or the roots. It's just there, and it's not fulfilling what it was designed to be, a good fruit. Now, we can probably we'll get there. But as we begin to look at this, we've got to watch our lack of moral nourishment. Do not conform to the wrong. You've got to stay conforming to the morality, what God speaks of. So in the Webster's Dictionary of Wither, it says to become dry and sapless. A few weeks back, I was talking about, oh, happy days are here again because he's planted us by the river, by the water. We're strong. We're tall like palm trees. We're big like the cedar. Oh, we've got vitality in us. We've got our sap is in us is flowing. But then we can find out if it's withering that we become dry and sapless. To lose vitality, to lose force, you begin to lose freshness. Nothing like being fresh with God. Whew. He keeps us going. He gives us a new outlook on life. He turns our mourning, sadness into joy. The world wants you to stay in sadness and mourning. Because when you're in that level of that, it's kind of like a defeated type thing. And there's no purpose. There's no use. This is what it is. I'm just living this life. Nothing's different. It's been hard. It's been hard on me. It's been hard on my family. It's been hard, whatever the case might be, on anything in our levels of what we're into. But we've got to look at this and realize that we will lose our vitality and our force with that of God when we begin to not stay nourished to his word. Nourished with his kingdom. Nourished with where he has placed us. I would look at this to say that God has a place for everyone out there in one of his churches in the area. You know that? We have multiple different types of churches, and the things and the way they're handled and the things that they go through and how they bring the Word of God about and what their focus is in the community. But there's a church out there for everybody. And I would encourage you, if this is not your church, find the church that God wants you in, because I'm going to tell you, once you find the church that God wants you in, he will plant you. Let him plant you in that church. And you'll begin to flourish, you'll begin to grow, you'll become a strong member of the kingdom of God. And that's what I want as a pastor. I want you to succeed into the destiny that God has for you. And if it's not here at Harvesters, let me pray you, not out of here because I want to get rid of you, but I want to pray that you fulfill the destiny that God has for you, because that's the most important thing in my life and your life and me serving God, is I need to get you hooked up where you need to be hooked up, because that's where God wants you. I love everyone that is here today, and please stay. If God has said, this is your church. We have people come in and visit and say, we're just looking for a church. Praise God. If this is it, welcome. If you don't sense it here, I will pray that God has that church for you. Just be listening. We had that in Sunday school, a little bit about hearing and seeing the things of God. God will give you that ability. But listen to him, and he will take you where he wants you to grow, to flourish, to be a vibrant branch on his vine. Oh, Father. So, now to look at this in a little bit, I'm going to see what I found here in Psalms 37. Psalms 37, the title is The Heritage of the Righteous and the Calamity of the Wicked. And this is what God can do. God can help us flourish. And when those are going against the children of God, or when those go against God, he can come against them in a mighty way, and God can take care of that. That's why I'm so happy to say that God tells me, Tim, are you having a battle? Yes. Who's going to fight that battle for you? Are you going to fight it? No, God. Because I read in your word that says, the battle belongs to the Lord. And he would say, that's good. You gain something there. Because if we fight it ourselves, eventually you will lose. Oh, you may gain a here and a gain there and all that, but in the longevity of it, you will lose and you'll be beaten down. But here it talks about this. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and what? Wither as the green herb, or the flower. So this tells me that as God in His Word says, I will plant you, and you will grow, and you will have a sap, and your sap will be flowing, and you will flourish, that tells me that I will not wither. But also it tells me that when things don't go right and we get outside of the things of God, and especially, and I'm not saying that we're in a battle with God, but I'm just saying that once we get out of the graces of God, things begin to happen. And like this year, He's coming against those evildoers. He is going to cause them to wither. Now, God causes them to wither, but you cause yourself to wither with your lack of attention to God and God's Word and spending time with Him. But anyway, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And then it goes on, and you can read it. Commit your ways, trust Him, and He will bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord in verse 7, and wait patiently for Him. But then in 9, for the evildoers shall be cut off. They shall be destroyed. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while and more, the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you shall look carefully for his place. And then in verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I don't know about you, but I count myself as the meek. I'm the meek, but I can count myself that I am going to, as I serve my God, what's he saying this? That the meek will inherit the earth, and they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Even when all things are happening around you, I believe as a child of God, you can be at peace. There's a peace that passes all understanding. That's being the child of God. That's to help us get through these trial times of where we're at in life with our nation, with our society, with all the things that are going on in the world, that I believe a true child of God, you can stand or you can sit or whatever the case might be, but you can be at peace because my God is there for me. My God will sustain me. My God will take care of me. My God will protect me. My God will give me what I need, and when I need it, He will give it. And if I don't need it, He's not going to give it. And if I think I need it and I don't get it, I got to trust Him that, well, evidently I don't need it. Because God is my source. God says He will take care of me. Now, remember, New Testament, where you get into the meekness there. Meekness is not weak. Meekness is that you've got power, but you've got it controlled. See, we know the power that we possess. It's not my power, but it's the power of God in me through the Holy Spirit. It's God that I can pray to because I know He's a God that hears and answers prayers. Didn't it say here that, you know, He will give you the desires of your heart? Now, you got to be careful there. People get wacky on that and go, I'm sure everybody here raised their hands. How many here desires to win the $5 million lottery? Good. Well, you got to play it to win it, and I don't play it, so I guess I'm not going to win it. But then a long time back, I said, God, if I did, you know, my heart, I would give so much away to you and to your kingdom. And as soon as I said this, the heart, He shall give you the desires of your heart. Heart, intellect, awareness, mind, inner person, inner feelings, deepest thoughts, inner self. That brought me to a skid of stopping. Is my conversation with God. Oh, God, if I would win this, I would live comfortably, but I would love to do this and pay that and give this to that church and pay off that debt and give this and help that and blah, 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 blah. But then when I remembered in my thoughts, because of being in God's Word, He knows your heart. He gave you the desires of your heart, but He knows your heart. And when that happened and I didn't win, and, you know, Ed McMahon, we're old enough. I love you older people because you know who Ed McMahon was. And Publishers Clearinghouse. It's like, who wasn't looking for Ed McMahon to come up with a bunch of balloons? Hey, you've won the Publishers Clearinghouse. You get whatever, you know, $3,000 a month for life. Woo! Party! I can give so much to the Lord. And I actually said, Lord, why can't I do that? But I don't know. My spirit said, uh-oh. But God knows my heart. And I, evidently God knows something in my heart that I don't know. God knows something in your heart that you don't even know. You think you're such a Christian. Ooh, I'm a Christian. I've been following him for 25, 35, 40 years, 50 years. I'm a Christian. I'm a star. Lord, give me this. And God. But, oh, but he knows our heart. And he knows what needs to stay away from us that could do what? Corrupt us. And I would much rather stay where I'm at financially and where I'm at, whatever that means, in the will of God, with God as my source and trusting and believing, and I know he's there, than to get into something in a worldly way that all of a sudden will take my eyes off of God. No, it's not going to take my eyes off of you. God, I'm a follower. I love you. I'm serving you. I'm following you. But he knows something that I don't know, and I trust him for that. I thank him, God, for protecting me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Not just salvation, and I've got salvation, and I'm going to heaven when I die. But he knows me, and he's saving me from the wiles of the earth, the wiles of this time of the enemy, that how he could get in and distort something. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose what I've got with Christ. I value my relationship with Jesus Christ. I value the relationship with God as my Heavenly Father more than $5 billion or any billions or millions or trillions that you can put out there with zeros. Because as his word, all of this stuff is passing away. And you're not going to take it with you. I just want to be with him where he's at and where he wants me to be and trusting him. I want to know, or he wants me to know, that, Tim, ask and I will provide. You need this? Pray about it and I will bring away. I will have a raven come and drop a $100 bill on your house. I don't know. You know, something of manna or something. I don't know. We may get into that here in a little bit. But I want God to be my source, and I don't want a big fat bank account, because I know that can be taken away. The government, the IRS, you name it, those guys are a bunch of thieves. Oh, don't put that on this tape. I'll be censored or something. We'll have the IRS at this house. Hey, what's this guy saying? But don't trust and put your marbles all into that. I will live a good life, a long life, and a life that God wants me to live by trusting and serving and saying, Lord, I will bring forth your word to your people, and I will share it to the best of my ability. But Lord, let the Holy Spirit speak through me and to those out there. And Lord, when I'm speaking and the Spirit is speaking through me, would you keep a little bit of him in me so I hear him too? I need him as much as you, and I've got to hear what I'm saying to you, because I want to be following him, staying strong in him, and I do not want to wither away. I've withered and I don't like it. I've been vibrant and I like that much better. But anyway, that's how God can take your evildoers and those out there, and he can bring withering upon them. And let him wither those around you that are evilness, and you just stay connected to him. Amen? We talk about in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. You've got to be steadfast. You've got to be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you do for God is not in vain. What you do for God, you may think is very insignificant. But if it is something that small for God, it's significant. It might be more for others, less for others. But if you're serving and doing what God has put upon your heart and what he has spoken to your spirit to say to do, I would suggest you let it go and follow him and trust him. Well, it says abounding. We find this. Abounding, have abundance. to superabound, to have excess, to greatly surpass, to excel. So as we look at this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always doing the work of the Lord in excess, always superabound, do it greatly, excel in the things that God wants you to excel. Now, don't get to the point to where you're just totally wearing yourself out. Because I believe sometimes the devil will get in there and say, you need to do this, 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 this. Oh, serve God. Yeah, 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 yeah. And we've seen many, many, many people that get in there and they go so strong into it, they don't balance it with what God is wanting them to do. They take over the reins and they begin to drive it. And then after 6 months, 8 months, 10 years, whatever the case is, throw a date out there, these poor people are beat down. I'm going to tell you, when you serve God in the right measure, at the right time, at the right level, you will not wear out. Come on. If you're saying, oh man, this is wearing me down. Oh, I can't. Oh, I got to get away for a while. Well, yeah, vacation, getting away for a week or so, that's fine. But I'm going to say, when you're doing what God wants you to do with the vitality and what He is putting you to do, He will give you the strength, He will give you strong, He will do whatever, He will get you there. The enemy is there too, to hinder, to create division, to create confusion, seeking who he may devour. See, as we get so strong and so much working for the Lord, if it's not done in the right timing and His power and with His strength, and we're doing it on our own, we begin to become weak. We become to where we no longer have the strength to know that we're even being spied upon by the devil and he's getting ready to pounce on us. We've got to be alert. We've got to be fed by His word. We've got to be having the Holy Spirit around us. The Holy Spirit is our radar. You know? And if you see a blip somewhere on that thing coming at you, and if it's not God, you better be watching. Could be that of the devil coming. And many times I think we've had a lot of good people in churches that got into this and they excelled well, but it overtook them. And they got wore out. I don't know about you, but I am on this journey with God for the duration. It's not just a sprint. This is a cross-country race. This is a cross-your-life race. And we serve Him, and we're with Him, and we're doing and what He wants us to be. Even in our old age, you may not be pastoring and sharing from the pulpit, but you're spreading the news, spreading the gospel, praying for people, showing the love, being there, being a source, showing people that the light of Christ is there. Never give up. Never give up. Continue steadfastly in faith and abound in service to God. Keep your faith going. Abound in the service to God. When you're serving God, I pray that you feel that's your sweet spot. Every person in here has a sweet spot. When you hit it, you know it. Whether it's in your job, your family, your career, ministering, when you find that spot, stay there. Because when you hear people of that in the world, and they're in a job, and they go, oh, once they find something that it's not a job anymore, it's something that they desire, and I say it's almost like, hey, my job is not a job. It's what I like. It just happens I get a paycheck for it, or I get benefits or whatever, but I'm not going there because I got to go there, and I got to work for the man, and I got to slave away, I've got to do this. No, you find something, and you're serving in that area, you're just saying there, hey, this is great. It's not a job now. Or it's not a job. Don't want to be a job. Or you want to be a job or a job? Thank you, Lord. Anyway, continue steadfastly in faith, abound in service to God. Know that nothing done in Jesus' name is in vain. you're serving Him, it's not in vain. There's a reward there. There's something waiting for all of us when we receive that time to be called home. Whatever it is, that crown, whatever the jewels and the rubies, or whatever it is, I don't even know what I'm going to get. I just want to know that I'm serving my God. I'm not looking for the payout. For me, the payout has already been done. Jesus Christ died for me. My sins have been forgiven. When I get called home, I'm going to heaven. And when I get there, I'll figure it out then. And it's just not that I just want to get there. I want to get there with shouting on my lungs. Glory! I want to be still. All of a sudden, I'm translated from here up there, and I'm, I don't know, maybe I see the pulpit where they're taking the people coming in, and I go, hey, it's time to minister. Okay, everybody, welcome. It's good morning. It's a Sunday morning here. And they go, hey, buddy, what? It's Tuesday. What? What? You just stepped from this life to that one. Ooh. Well, it's there. We are. We'll be stepping in there. The New Century Version says, so my dear brothers and sisters, stand strong. Do not let anything move you. Don't let anything move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. The devil will say, do you really need to do that? Do you think you're really being appreciated? Do you really think that's making a difference? And if you listen to the devil long enough, you will start believing the lie that he's telling you, and you'll say, yeah, you know what, maybe they don't appreciate it. Yeah, I think I won't do it no more. Yeah, all right. Win one for the devil. Therefore, my beloved brethren, in the Amplified, it says, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord. See, sometimes people want to do just enough to get by. Hey, I did this, I showed up. How was that, God? Well, I had more for you to do, and you didn't follow it. Well, I did this, but you didn't do it all. You just want to get just enough. Knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile, which means it is never wasted or there is no purpose to it. Every time and things that you do serving the Lord, it's for a purpose and it is not going to be a waste of time. And I'm going to end with this and then we're going to get a beginning into where I really want to go. So now, beloved one, in the passion, so now, beloved one, stand firm, stable, and enduring life. And enduring. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. Know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord. The Greek here could be translated, always have the Lord's possessions in abundance. Because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. Your labor in the Lord is not without effect. Fruit. Now, you can go in and you can kind of look at, okay, fruits that we're to have. Love, joy, peace, all of these things, you know. Supposed to, you know, serving Him and being there with Him, you know, all these benefits the Holy Spirit gives us. But we want fruit to bear. We want to have people look at us and find us as a fruit-bearing branch of that of the vine that we're attached to. Now, so after I did all that, it came to my attention to look at, we need God's Word, and God's Word is our soul's nourishment. God's Word is the nourishment that we need. Not spirituality, not a lot of knowledge. Knowledge is good, but just God's Word in the simplest form is what we need to devour for our nourishment. This takes me back into a study that was in my Bible here, back in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we know that we find that, let's see, as Moses is going through different aspects of things of what we read about, and then the Ten Commandments being reviewed in chapter 5, and the Great Commission in 6, and things of that nature. In chapter 7 in Deuteronomy, talks about the chosen people. And I'm thankful. I may not be a Jew, but I've been grafted in, and I'm part of that chosen now. Hallelujah. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be the people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. I shared a little bit about that a few months back, about you're a treasure to God. May not be Jewish, but I've been grafted in. I've been adopted. So I count myself as that. But that's not what I want to stop at. But that's talking about his chosen people. Then it talks about blessings of obedience. It's important to be obedient to him. And then it says in verse 12, chapter 7, verse 12, then it shall come to pass, because you've listened to these judgments and keep and do them, and that your Lord God will keep you with the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers, and he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb. I mean, just a wonderful promise of things that God is about with people, his chosen people. Verse 14, you shall be blessed above all the people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. I mean, not just the people, but I mean the animals and things. He was blessing them totality with everything, and he was their God. And then in verse 15, the Lord will take away from you the sicknesses and afflictions and diseases and things of that nature of Egypt. Or no one. But anyway, so we're going through all of that, the chosen people, the blessings of obedience. But then we get to verse, or I should say chapter 8 in Deuteronomy. And it starts out, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Sounds fun. Sounds great. But go back and remember, you must be careful to observe, and that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. Verse 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart. Lord, let me win that money. I'll be a good person with it. He knows my heart. He was in your heart. He knows what's in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so in verse 3, so he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger. And then he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall what? Not live by bread alone, but what? But man lives by every word that proceeds from the man's mouth? No. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's why it's important to devour his word. That's why his word is nourishment into us. That's why his word in us will keep us from withering. That's why with his word in us, he can say, you will be a palm tree. You will be a cedar. You will have roots that go deep. You will have substance. You will have a running sap. You will have vitality. You will flourish. Why? Because I hang on every word that proceeds from whose mouth? God's mouth. And what he's wanting me to do or not do or to follow or not follow. And by that, I read his word, I meditate on it, I live by that and allowing the Holy Spirit to take that word, to bring it to life to me. So we're going to look at some of these things here for just a little bit, and I'm sure we'll take this into another week. So, we find the same area here in verse 4. He will make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus quoted this up in Matthew 4:4, right? With the Satan tempting him, right? Do you remember that? Matthew 4:4. Matthew. Here he comes. He's coming out. Jesus got filled with the Spirit, and then he got sent into the desert. Imagine that. But anyway, we know the story. And then in verse 4, Matthew 4:4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now I drop to 4. But then the tempter comes to him in verse 3, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread of bread. But Jesus says, it is not written that man shall live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That word, that which is said or spoken, an utterance, in contrast to logos, which is the expression of a thought, a message, or a discourse. Logos is the message. Rhema is the communication of the message. We read a scripture, and that's where it talks about logos, the scripture. Rhema comes to life. We read a verse, it seems really nice. All of a sudden, we read that verse again, and we're enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and that verse jumps off of that page. It hits your spirit in such a way that it sends you like bottle rockets. Wow! Yes, Lord! Logos is the message. Rhema is the communication of the message. In reference to the Bible, logos is the Bible in its entirety. Rhema is a verse from the Bible. The meaning of rhema is distinction to logos, illustrated in Ephesians 6:17, where the reference is not to the scripture as a whole, but to that portion which the believer wields as a sword in the time of need. The word of his word, amen, is that of a sword. But anyway, it's the power of the word. I would say the logos, as we read it, the rhema, and we begin to see the power of it. We begin to see it put the action. It puts the action in our lives and our personal things there. But anyway, that's a little side note of this in Deuteronomy, where we've heard this before, or again, and about that man shall not live by bread alone. The parallel that is used here for Israel's receiving the daily supply of manna makes it clear that a regular daily portion of God's word is to be sought and fed upon by the believer. If you're not in his word, and I'm not saying you're reading chapter after chapter every day, I'm just saying if you're not in his word and reading some scripture, a verse, read a verse, let it be logos, read it again, let it be logos. Pray in the Spirit, Lord, I keep coming back to this verse. What is it really? What are you trying to speak to me with this verse, Lord? What is it, Lord? And let it open it and enlighten me in it. And all of a sudden I read it again and that rhema hits. All of a sudden it's just like it was lit. The fuse is lit. And now I see that simple verse that I was reading 3 or 4 or 5 times was good. I could see the practicality of it. But now it comes to life, and I see it, not just the practicality of it back then. I see where he is saying, now, my son, this is what I said, or this is what was shared back then. That is now for you today. The Rhema word coming to life, enlightening you to more of what God has for you. God does not just want us to read his word. He wants us to devour his word to the point of we gain something out of it that everybody can read it, but those that are filled with that Holy Spirit and it becomes that rhema, it will change your life. God's word is to be sought and fed upon by the believer. This is just my study notes here. This is not a matter of legal duty. See, we can get into legalities of it. Well, you better read that word every day. Well, if you put it upon people to do it as a legal requirement, they'll just read it to say I marked it off on my calendar of scriptures to read and put the Bible away and go on to the life of the day. But it's not to become a legal duty determining one's salvation, but a matter of personal responsibility determining one's obedience to the pathway of discipleship. He doesn't want us just to receive salvation and, oh, I've got my way to heaven and I've got my ticket punched. Yes, 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 we all do. But he wants us to become a disciple of Christ. He wants us to study the life of Jesus. He wants us to study his word so that we can put it in us. And the purpose of a lot of that is going to be when the end times come and when time gets hard, you may not have your Bible with you, but you're going to have the word of God in you. And once you can read this, and I've read this, and I felt like I never received much into, I wasn't reading it and committing it to memory, but I just read it, and you read it a few times, and then you go on, but there's been times years later, something happens, and it's like, wait, that scripture, maybe a paraphrase, I'm not going to quote it, maybe New King James, or King James, or New Century Version, but it could be Tim's translation, as long as I translate it to the point of what the validity of that word is, and I don't take away from it or add to it. But it'll come back to my memory, and it gives me, hope. It gives me strength. It gives me a direction. It gives me confidence. It gives me a knowing that God's Word is in here and it'll be brought back out, because when I begin to pray in the Spirit, it gives me I will pray things that I don't even know about. But also it speaks about, by the Holy Spirit in you, He will bring to you words or scripture that you've been taught or that you've read. That's why it's good to come to church. It's good to be a corporate body. It's good to be here. It's good to be hearing all this stuff. But it's good personally to be in His Word on a daily or semi-daily time to at least devour some of His Word for nourishment. You eat every day. This is manna from heaven. At least eat it like once or twice a day, or once or twice or five times a week, whatever the case is. But devour some of His Word weekly, to where it builds you, sustains you, gives you vitality, keeps you alert. That's why I think a lot of times we are not alert to the things around us, because as we get far away from, removed from God's Word, and the enemy comes in. And he begins to see who he could devour. Well, we got to be strong into these things. We got to realize that it's not for, legal duty. Oh, I better do that. No, do it because you want to. Do it because you know this Word has a direction for your life. This Word has a direction. It has an answer for what you're going through today. And I'm going to say this. You may not understand it. It may not be speaking what you think it is. You still may not try to understand. But that's where we have to have, Lord, enlighten me with what I just read. I don't see it happening in my life. I don't see how it is addressing my situation that I'm in right now. Help me understand, because your Word is true. And a lot of times the Lord will lead you to Scripture to read, or you'll read something, and all of a sudden within that chapter, one or two or three verses stick out that, wait a minute, this is something. He will lead you to these things. Not a matter of legal duty or determining your salvation, but it's a matter of personal responsibility. Hello, 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 personal responsibility. It's not my responsibility to bring you along every day into God's Word and to help you get through all this. I even have my own personal responsibility that I have got to be with that of God. You've got to be with that of God. And then we join together as a corporate body, but personal responsibility. No, nobody wants personal responsibility, but it says we got to have personal responsibility determining one's obedience to the pathway of discipleship. However, let no one suppose spiritual survival is possible for long without nourishment from the Word of God. Spiritual survival is... possible without that of nourishment from the Word of God. Well, we're there. I want to go into a couple other areas back in the New Testament with that. I want to touch upon maybe next week. This is talking about, God's Word and our own soul's nourishment. I want to go and feed off of a little bit about the spiritual growth requires God's Word. We want to grow spiritually. It's going to take God's Word. It's going to take you. You want to grow spiritually in the things of God? You want to know more about God? Take a personal responsibility to dig into what His Word is telling us to do and just begin to let it evolve in your life and open up to you. As I wrap this up then, in 1 Peter 2:2 declares that God's Word is essential to the believer as milk is to a newborn child. But as we come to terms with His Word as key to our survival, let us also see that God has given its pleasantness as a joyful source of sweetness for our living. Well, okay, so it talks about... His pleasantness is a joyful source of sweetness for our living. It bounces me to Psalms 19:10. Psalms 19:10 says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." And it's talking about, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. But here again, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. In our Sunday school, we talked about in Proverbs about, you know, he gives us our eyes and our ears to hear. So it's through that of God that opens our eyes, we see and we hear the things of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful day. I thank you, Father, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your word and how your word is here to help us. I pray for all of us, myself included, Lord, that we stay vibrant and hooked up to your word, that we take a personal responsibility to just read some scripture, Lord, meditate on it. And I thank you, Lord, for the leading of the Holy Spirit during those times that he will help us understand. And as Lord, you're not trying to hide things on us. You're not trying to make it difficult for us to grasp your word, Father. But in those times that we may not quite understand it, that's why we have that of the Holy Spirit, Lord. That's why Jesus said that he must go so that the Spirit could come and lead us into the truth of your word, lead us and guide us. So I thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Be with all of us, and especially these wonderful people. Give them a good week ahead. Lord, let them see your abundance. Lord, let them see how you are there loving them throughout this week and that you've not left them nor forsaken them. And I pray, Lord, that we will all return next week to hear more from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.